Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who are making a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Men's health and violence against women, two topics that often sit in the shadows in Northumberland County. Both are things most people don't like to talk about, either privately or in public. Today, we talk to two experts in these vitally important topics, so let's get started. I want to talk to the men out there who are listening to the show today. I want to ask you guys a direct question. When was the last time you went to see a doctor? Now, before you answer, I'm talking about the times when your wife or your partner or a family member didn't have to pester you. I'm talking about the time when you made the decision and acted on it. Then ask yourself, when was the last time you regularly exercised? Or how about losing a few pounds? We don't talk about men's health. Sure, we will grouse about feeling lousy or list off all our aches and pains. But the question is, what are you doing? This month is Movember, an international campaign to raise money for funding public education and research into men's physical and mental health. The innovative campaign asks men to grow a mustache to fundraise. And for the sake of transparency, I want you to know that I'm currently growing a mustache and raising money along with a number of young men in the journalism program at Loyalist College. So with that said, I am very lucky to have Karen Taylor, public health nurse with the Halliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit, to talk about men's health. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here.
Now, can you give me a snapshot regarding men's attitudes towards health issues? Because I know the statistics are very shocking.
Well, we can break it down to younger men and older men. What would you like to talk about? Men?
Let's talk about young men and then we'll talk about old guys.
Younger men, as with younger people in general, they're thinking about enjoying life, what they can do for themselves. So risky behavior may be occurring. Being with friends and family, friends is very important to them. So young men may be experimenting with substances, maybe not eating as healthy, going out and drinking with friends on occasion, and maybe not driving as they should be.
So let's unpack some of that, because that's really, really interesting. So the first thing you mentioned was substance use.
Yes.
And we've just recently had marijuana, cannabis,
October
legalized.
October 17th, yes.
So what impact is that having when you're dealing with public health issues around cannabis use?
We know that cannabis can affect people under the age of 25 if they're not fully developed. Cannabis can make some health impacts. But the good news is we have the lower risk cannabis guidelines for people who may be using cannabis for recreational use. Now, medical cannabis prescribed by a healthcare provider, of course, the healthcare provider is going to monitor how you are doing. But I'm talking more about recreational cannabis, using cannabis and driving, as we know, which should not be done. Using cannabis when it may affect other parts of your health. For example, somebody who may have a diagnosis of mental health or addiction, cannabis, including in mental health and addictions, may not be a good idea for them.
Now, making it legal, though, does it mean that we may see a spike in, are public health officials worried about seeing a spike in the use of cannabis?
We are in new territory. I'm not sure about the answer for that, but we can look at what's happened possibly in the U.S.
Okay.
What's happened with cannabis and how Colorado or California or other states have looked at cannabis. One thing that may, a negative thing may have happened in Colorado is that there was a spike in calls to poison control for small children getting into cannabis. So people who are using cannabis, please secure your cannabis so children and pets cannot get at it. And if you have any concerns, talk to a healthcare provider.
You've talked a bit about the health risks associated with cannabis for people who are not yet fully developed.
Yes.
Are there other risks that are associated with this for young men?
For young men and people in general, there is cannabis addiction is an issue. So if somebody who cannot start their day without cannabis or cannot see days when they don't use cannabis, there's an addiction issue. But there are local services that are available if an addiction is an issue. Smoking cannabis, anything that is smoked does affect the respiratory system. So bronchitis and respiratory problems can be an issue as well. Some people may be combining tobacco and cannabis. I think that's already going on right now. So when you combine tobacco with cannabis, you're exposing yourself to other chemicals as well that can cause cancer.
One of the other big topics for young men and women, but in particular young men, is the issue around concussions. And there's a lot going on around prevention, about monitoring. Can you talk a bit about the risks for young men related to concussions?
Are you thinking more about sports?
That's correct.
So coaches and sports officials in schools or in after-school programs, they have information about how to prevent concussions, how to have the players practice and play in such a way that they're being sportsmanlike, enjoying their game, but not putting themselves at risk. I don't have a lot of information on concussions, but coaches should know more about that.
Okay. One of the things we often associate with sports or just with young men in general is the attitude of, you know, suck it up, buttercup. You know, if you show any sort of weakness or that you complain about an ache or a pain or, you know, you bang your head, you know, just shake it off, get back out there, keep on playing. What's being done to help young men become more sensitive to health issues that are related and when we should push ourselves rather than when we should step back a bit?
I don't have a lot of information on that as well either, but a young man, an adult, should be able to stand up for themselves and saying, something is not right here. And if they feel that something's not right, talk to a healthcare provider, tell them what's going on, and get a second opinion. Your health, their health, and the time, what, the next 60, 70, 80 years, that's important. And so start off with a good health. Think about yourself more than thinking about others when it comes to things like concussion.
So we've talked about young men. Let's talk about older men, because that attitude then flows through, and we see it in a number of ways. What ways do you see that sort of men's attitude towards health filtering through as men grow old, young men become older men?
We know that, for example, healthy eating, alcohol, cannabis, smoking, those things may be an issue as people get older, especially if they've started a pattern of using substances or alcohol earlier in life. However, there's maturity, there's knowledge that's gained, there's life experience as well. So older men, there's a lot of services available in the community that can help them. One service, for example, healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
The Port Hope Community Health Center has cooking classes just for men.
Tell us about that.
So they can contact the Port Hope Community Health Center. Whether you are a member or not, you can join two cooking classes that's run by a dietitian, and his name is Adam, and he can help men learn, how can I cook things better? How can I cook be more healthier? How can I take care of myself and not spend as much money? Maybe not go out to restaurants and they're not looking out for my health.
So what about tobacco use and older men? Talk to us about that.
The good news is the smoking rates are decreasing when it comes to cigarettes. However, vaping is becoming more popular. We don't know a lot about vaping. We don't know a lot more about the health effects of long-term health effects about vaping. Some people are using vaping to quit smoking. But what people are not talking about is, what are you going to do after the vaping? How are you going to quit vaping?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of services available in this area for people who want to quit smoking. The health unit has services, community health centers, family health teams, smokers helpline is available, and some services are available that's almost free. Free nicotine patches, gum, inhaler, lozenge, spray. And if you're between 18 and 29, free nicotine patches and free nicotine gum are available. 8-week supply is available to young men who want to quit smoking.
And how do we access those?
Leave the pack behind.
What's
that's
that?
That's the service for young adults 18 to 29, whether in school or out of school, to get an 8-week supply of free nicotine patches or nicotine gum. There's another service where, let's say you want to try to quit smoking. You're not really ready. You want to try. And you want to also try to be physically active. There's another program called the First Week Challenge. If you could try and quit smoking and be physically active, even if it's just walking, for 7 days, you can enter a contest and win $500. Again, it's a contest. Not everybody wins.
So those are very concrete ways that we can do something about that. But let's talk a little bit more about eating and exercise, because those are two very important things. In doing some of the research, I found out that it's all around 80% of men are more likely to die of heart disease. I also found out that 57% of men are more likely to die from diabetes. And that 29 or 30% chance of being more likely to be diagnosed with cancer. And I know that healthy eating and exercise can play a big role in these things. So let's talk about it.
So some cancers are more associated with lifestyle changes. Some cancers are related to hereditary. So if you are born, if your family has a history of, let's say, prostate cancer, as Movember concert, or those are the things that you would talk to a healthcare provider about. So we're talking more about lifestyle cancers at this point. Mm-hmm. So tobacco and smoking, there are about 20 cancers linked to tobacco use, some for men, some for women. Colorectal cancer, for example, is a preventable cancer, mm-hmm. unless it's hereditarily linked. And diet, exercise, stress, sleep, making changes that way can change the risk of colorectal cancer. And there's a kit that people can use, the FOBT kit that they can mm-hmm. use to check for colon cancer, or, of course, colonoscopy with a doctor.
So it's good that we talk about these things, but how is it, and I'm sure this is something that healthcare professionals struggle with all the time, how do we get people motivated to do something, to actually take this up, before we get into these preventable diseases, which I understand a very high percentage of men's illnesses are preventable. So how do we get people motivated?
Let's take small steps then. We talked about the cooking class. So mm-hmm. we talked about healthy eating. We talked about contests. More people are on social media. So if they want to take a look at social media, what it says about cancers and what can I do about it, the health unit has videos available mm-hmm. to talk about healthy eating and lifestyle changes. Let's say you don't want to talk to a doctor. You're not really sure. Telehealth Ontario has nurses that somebody can call 24/7 to mm-hmm. talk about. I have an issue. I have a question about cancer. And they will help you. And they will also help you with healthy eating. Dietitians are on there as well. So you can take small steps to make small changes. Trying to walk a bit more. Cutting back on smoking if you're not ready to quit. Eating 5 fruits and vegetables a day, that's the goal. Start small and then progress.
Can you give us a snapshot of health, men's health issues in Northumberland? Do you have a sense of what's going on locally?
We have a sense what's going on locally, especially if you start talking. Let's start younger. Let's talk at high school age, and then you can see what's going on sure. as we go up. So we mentioned cannabis. We know that about 13% of grade 7 to 12 students have tried cannabis. That was the result of a 2017 study. So that's an issue. But knowing what cannabis can do and when it's what recreational cannabis issues, what can occur, that's important. I mentioned the lower risk cannabis guidelines. That's available online, and people can take a look and see is cannabis right for them or not? Maybe they should be abstaining from cannabis if it's not right for them. Sleep. Not everybody gets the amount of sleep they should be getting. Some of the issues may be related to use of social media, playing video games, being sedentary, having a TV in your room at night, not getting the room prepared for sleep. Sleep is a time to rest and repair. So the body tries to repair itself during sleep. So having as much good quality sleep as possible, that helps a lot too.
What steps can people take then? You've mentioned a couple of things. What shouldn't we be doing, or what young people shouldn't be doing before they go to bed then?
Young people and all people. There should be no screens in your bedroom. It should be dark. should be a calm place. You prepare yourself for going to bed. So an hour before, get rid of screen time, get rid of the tablet or the games. You're trying to get prepared for bed. Also, you're not having caffeine late at night, not consuming cannabis or tobacco late at night before you're going to bed. Just preparing yourself, winding down.
What are other issues? Because I know the list is long, so keep going.
Alcohol is an issue as well. Alcohol, age group 25 to 34, that is an issue because they're having more alcohol than recommended in the low-risk alcohol guidelines. In this area, it is an issue. So alcohol should be something that should be addressed as well. Alcohol affects the liver. A liver that's damaged could become cancerous over time. Alcohol affects the way the brain works as well. Alcohol has calories in it, and so that can lead to increased weight and affects the heart as well. So watching alcohol consumption, watching addiction to alcohol, and if there is a problem, calling telehealth or seeking advice from addiction services, forecast addiction services in this area, for example, Canadian Mental Health Association, for people who have mental health diagnoses and maybe also consuming substances, that's an issue as well.
Do you have any other stats locally for what's going on with men's health?
Tobacco use, I mentioned it's going down. There's still high tobacco use in our area and certain areas of the province as well. If we could lower the tobacco use, that'd be great. About 17-18%.
How's that compared to the rest of the province?
The rest of the province is maybe slightly lower in some areas and higher in others as well. Tobacco use, vaping, that's an issue that people should be looking at being addressed as well for overall health and for overall well-being.
Any other stats?
I think we've covered a lot.
We have indeed, in a very short period of time, too. We talked earlier about Movember, and
yes.
Movember is often associated, as you said, with prostate and testicular cancer.
Yes.
But over the last few years, they've broadened their base out. They talk about health in general, but also they talk about mental health.
Mental health, yes.
What sort of things do you have to say to men about mental health? Because again, it goes back to that earlier thing we talked about with attitudes towards, I can't show weakness. I can't get sad. I can't get depressed. We don't talk about our feelings. Talk about mental health for men.
You're correct. With what you just said, this is when allies come into place. Movember also talks about Mo brothers and Mo sisters.
Yes.
So allies, we found in research that younger men seem to listen more to their partners, their mothers, people that they can trust. So if there are others listening, you can come alongside a younger man or a man that's part of your family and tell them that you're concerned about what's going on in their life and you're there to help them as well. You can seek, so whoever's listening who wants to work more on their health and they're not sure what to do. I mentioned telehealth. That way you don't have to speak to someone if you don't want to speak to someone here. We have community health centers and family health teams with healthcare services and other services as well available to community members and to their rostered patients. We have Northumberland Hills Hospital Mental Health Services that's available. Canadian Mental Health Services is also available. You can call the 211 services to find out or go to 4info.com to search for a service that you're looking for that can help your health and also the health unit as well. One thing I wanted to mention is that we're very proud at the health unit that we didn't talk about sexual health.
Okay.
We have a men's only sexual health clinic, and the sexual health nurses have seen a lot more men coming to those clinics because they're feeling that they're getting supported. They feel they're in a relaxed atmosphere and they feel like they're getting help. So the men's only sexual health clinic is a source for them.
When you talk about sexual health, give us some examples of the things you're including when you say that.
Sexually transmitted diseases, making decisions about using substances and being sexually active, being in control of what's going on, the sexual health nurses are very well trained, and they can help with that as well.
I don't think we often understand just how serious an issue that is. I know that chlamydia rates, for example,
chlamydia
in Ontario
rates are high.
Huge. And yet, again, it's something we don't talk about very often. Do you happen to know what the situation is like here in Northumberland, or what's being done?
So the stats would be provincial. Yes. So what you just said is chlamydia rates are high. But the good news is there are places you can go, whether you have a doctor or not. And I mentioned the sexual mm-hmm. clinic at the health unit. Family health teams have clinics as well, and community health centers as well.
So there's nothing to be ashamed about coming forward. It does happen, and people can talk about it and help you.
Can talk about it, and they're very confidentiality, and they're very good about talking to men.
Well, I hope the men who are listening today take this great information to heart. And for those of you with husbands or partners or sons and family and friends, I hope you take a few moments to talk to them about their health and encourage them to do some of the things you've talked to us today about, Karen.
Yes,
and I appreciate your time so very, very much.
Thank you. And thanks for what you're doing with Movember.
Thank you.